Good morning. I am always excited to share God's Word. Last night, I went to Stratfield and shared God's Word with a group of Filipinos there. We have 11 people there. One couple is a Filipino and American. And I'm very comfortable in that crowd. But here, I'm a bit nervous. It's my first time to share God's Word, and my throat is a bit dry, and my tongue is a bit tied. So I need God's presence and blessings to all of us as I share this short prayer. May the words of my mouth, O Lord, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Taming the tongue. On my way back to school, or when my way to school to pick up John, I read a bumper sticker that says, "Caution, little chatterbags on board." The taming of the tongue is not shutting off that little chatterbox who sits on in our car. The taming of the tongue is not so much of quieting our children while watching footy shows or watching The Voice. Although quieting them help us concentrate in what we are doing. Taming of the tongue, my brothers and sisters, I would like to invite you to walk with me as we go through the letter of James in chapter 3 and verses 1 to 12. Please continue to open up your Bibles and let us walk through the letter of James in chapter 3. Let me read verse 1. "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged strictly." October 5 is International or World Teachers Day, established by UNESCO in 1994. It aims to mobilize support for teachers and to ensure that the needs of the future generation will continue to be met by teachers. But even before the creation of International or World Teachers Day, we know for a fact here in Australia, as well as in the Philippines, that teachers are highly respected. Teaching is a very noble profession, and there is no way we can underestimate its importance and contribution to society as well as to the church. In order for the church to propagate the gospel of the Lord, we absolutely need teachers. Teaching ministry is so vital and integral in the whole aspect of fulfilling the Great Commission of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Teaching is ranked third on the list of those who God has appointed, as recorded by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And for us Christians, Jesus Christ is not only our Savior and Lord, but He is our great teacher. And according to John, there is no one ever spoke like him. All about his life and his teaching, according to Luke, are written in Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Teachers will be judged more strictly. James is saying is that teachers have great enormous responsibilities resting on the shoulders. As the leader of the church in Jerusalem, James exactly knew what he was saying. And we can read how James exercised his responsibility as a leader and as a teacher when the church resolved an issue of relevance of the law of Moses to the Gentile Christians in Acts chapter 15. You can read that later on. Teachers will be judged more strictly. And I'm not going to smoothen that to lower this standard. Rather, let us celebrate and uphold our teachers in our prayers and support, for they are doing a very vital and integral part of the mission of Jesus, and they have great responsibilities on the shoulder. Now, you might some nephews and nieces, or maybe some of us here, are thinking of taking teaching as a profession. Don't let this passage shut you off, but be encouraged, because teaching is an amazing ministry for the glory of God and for the building up of His people. So at this point in time, can I just encourage everybody to just give a round of applause as a way of appreciating and glorifying God with the gift of teaching in our church. So I think there are some scripture teachers here. Palakpakan po natin na. No, let us give them a round of applause. No. Now, yeah, okay. Some of our teachers are also there in the greenhouse. And whether you like it or not, that round of applause is also for you and me, because in one way or the other, we are teachers. Now, I'm not going to lower the standard, but rather, let us continue to uphold each other in prayer. Let me go back to our text. Verse 2 says, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. James is quick to include himself in the assessment. He used the plural word we who teach, we stumble. But James did not only include himself, he included everybody. For who among us here did not stumble in any way? Who among us here can honestly and confidently say that he or she was never at fault in his life or in her life? Noticeably, James expands the scope of his concern, but specifically talking about the issue that it is in everybody's mouth. The tongue. James spent considerable time in studying the activities of the tongue, that he mentioned the tongue and his activities in every chapter of his book. He mentioned it twice in chapter 1. He mentioned it in chapter 2, verse 12. He mentioned it in chapter 4, verse 11. He mentioned it in chapter 5, verses 12. And now in chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, is the most detailed account of James about the tongue. And he used metaphors that are familiar in order for us or for him to drive home this point. Interestingly enough, James did not teach us on how to speak But rather, he shook us, according to James. Jeff mentioned last Sunday that James has the audacity to shock his listeners. And he did not tell us how to use the tongue, but rather he described it in a metaphorical way, what the tongue can do. And let us be patient and journey with James as we read his metaphors in verses 3-5. He said, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder whenever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body. Doctors and nurses still ask the patients to open the mouth and put that little instrument called thermometer to check on the whole temperature of the whole body. Looking at the mouth and the tongue can tell a great deal about physical condition. Now we have a doctor of the church in the year 100 to 165 named Justin Marty. And this is what he said. By examining the tongue of the patient, physicians find out the diseases. Philosophers find the disease of the mind. Christians find out the disease of the soul. In other words, if we want to check the faith maturity or the spiritual well-being of a person or a church, listen to what the tongues are saying. We keep our whole body in check by our tongue. Our tongue measures our maturity. Verses 3-4. We put bits into mouths of horses to make them obey us. We turn the whole animal or take ships so they are so large, but they are steered by small rudder whenever the pilot wants to go. My brothers and sisters, our life is destined to go in some directions, and it is inevitable. And the activity of the tongue, on the speech of the tongue, is a determining factor. Right word at the right time may open doors that will set the course of your work and life. Wrong word at the wrong time may shut off the doors or establish a reputation that mark you as ill or a bad person. And to tell you the truth, friends, I have that too. I worked as a university, a school chaplain for almost 12 years in the Philippines. And that time, I'm still immature. And one day I brought out our high school students for a one-day recollection up north, and some of the guys escaped, and it created in me a very, very strong emotion of what we call anger, or in Tagalog, galit na galit kami. Sorry, I'm speaking in tongues. To make the story short, after the retreat, the next day, I called them one by one, and in a room, I lashed my tongue, I shouted at them, and every word that I can utter, at the end of the day, I thought, I'm done. But later on, I realized that I killed those people. I killed my profession. I have a bad, bad, terrible reputation. Naungot nga padi. Or in English, a very angry minister. And that's a bad reputation. And I regretted that. My brothers and sisters, we are, in one way or the other, destined to go in some directions. It is inevitable. And the activity and speech of the tongue is a determining factor. But thanks be to God. It says in Romans 10 verse 9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Wow, I like that destination. Tongue measures our faith maturity. Tongue sets the direction and our destiny. Back to our text. The tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire but a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and itself set on fire by hell. It contains poison. Ah, James has all this description. I don't like to hear it. But even those words, we need to hear it in order for us to change by God. The longest tongue in the world record, according to Guinness World Record, his snake is Istubarl. You can Google this. And when he stick out his tongue, yeah, I think it's somewhere here. Talagang mahaba. It's very long. It's the very, very long. Now, whether your tongue or my tongue is second to Nick Istubarl or pretty much standard like mine's or yours, our tongue make great boast of its might. Again, let me read it. As far as James' description is concerned, it ignites a small parts of fire that burns into a catastrophic bushfire. It corrupts the whole person. It burns the whole course of the person's life. It itself set on fire by hell. It is full of deadly poison. Wow. Assessing the magnitude of the catastrophic devastation caused by tongue, which is ironically in proportion to the size of the tongue, it is no wonder that God, who designed the structure of our bodies, had put and protected our tongue with three strong security mechanisms. The lower and upper jaw. The lower and upper 32 set of teeth, including wisdom teeth. And last but not the least, the lower and upper lips. To borrow the term of penology, the tongue is placed in a maximum security prison. James has described the damage a tongue can do. He is not exaggerating. No, not at all. You can Google, or you have probably heard, or maybe you have experienced yourselves the terrible damage caused by gossips, of lying, of false accusations, of intrigues, of curses and swearings, of filthy words. The damage caused lives and relationships, of families, communities, churches, credibilities, of trust, and friendship. In our World Wide Web today, the damage that a tongue can do is much more than the actual words we say out loud. Actual speech is just a small, tiny percentage of the use of the tongue. You have probably heard of cyberbullying, false accusations, gossips, etc., done in social media without actual words, but transmitted and circulated electronically by the click of our fingers. In a matter of seconds, the damage reached across the globe with millions of people in the World Wide Web. The tongue ignites iniquity. It is a tool that the devil is well trained to use. When we make available our tongue for the devil to use, the devil is delighted to use it to our own destruction and the destruction of others, as well as the destruction of the church. Verses 7 and 8. Animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. Why is it that no man can tame the tongue? The answer lies in our sinful nature. We are prone to rebel against God, and our rebelliousness is expressed by our tongue. The book of Genesis recorded that the beginning of the fall of man came in through the activities of the tongue and the mouth. From the seemingly sweet conversation of the serpent and Eve came deceits and lies, and consequently, sin was consummated by Eve and Adam when they ate the forbidden fruit. When God asked Adam whether he had eaten from the forbidden tree, Adam's tongue lashed out his accusation to God, saying, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit of the tree and I ate." When God asked Eve, Eve's tongue passed the buck and blamed the serpent. God created man to be stewards of God's creation and subdue it. It is unfortunate that man was not able to tame the tongue. Few verses more. Verses 9 to 12. With the tongue we praise our Lord and our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, said James, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives, or grapevine bears figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. The last metaphor used by James illustrates our inconsistencies expressed by praying and cursing with the same tongue. In other words, our tongue's inconsistencies compromise and destroy our Christian faith confession. Our inconsistencies of our tongue compromise and even distort the truth of the gospel. Is there hope for the tongue? Is there hope for the tongue? When James speaks of the tongue, His point is to warn us against the sin of speech, the taming of the tongue. But more than guarding ourselves from sin of speech, James make a positive conclusion on verse 12. James invites his listeners to reflect on the origin and root of the tongue by using the metaphor of a spring, the very source of water that flows its own kind, and the metaphor of plant that bears witness to its own kind. In the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 12, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The tongue is physically and spiritually rooted and connected with our hearts. My brothers and sisters and friends, whether we are teaching or talking is done in the pulpit, at the school, or in the private rooms of our homes, or in the company of our BFF, best friend forever, or with a stranger, the stake is high. Let us be careful with our words and mindful of our motives. While it is true that the tongue is in a moist place and it can slip easily, may I encourage you, my brothers and sisters, to anchor and tame our tongue with the weight of God's word. No man has ever tamed the tongue, but God can tame the tongue, just as he did with Isaiah. Isaiah admitted and confessed that he is a man of unclean lips. God changed Isaiah, and from his mouth declares words of prophecies and praises to God. Moses himself has a problem of his tongue. He mumbles his words. He's few in words. But God asked, help Moses. So if you are like me and like Moses, who have very few words, we'll ask God so that we can talk rapidly. Like that. Now, in other words, God can help us, even though it says that man cannot tame the tongue, but God can help us. Our tongue, our mouth is spiritually connected to the heart, and we are summoned to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our minds, and with all our tongue. A spiritually mature person in Christ, in Jesus Christ, can bridle his tongue or her tongue. Our tongue can direct people to know and be saved by Jesus Christ. Let our Christian faith and our personal relationship with the Lord and with others be sustained by the activities of our tongue that declare the wonderful works of the Lord. As Christians, let us walk our talk. And if you are in Facebook or if you are in the World Wide Web, you can use the World Wide Web positively. The tongue, the fingers and the Facebook are extensions of our tongue. Use it in a godly manner. Use it to encourage those who seem to be losing the hope. Those are also instruments for us to use. Is there hope for the tongue? Is there hope for the tongue? Again, as I was sharing, the sin of the tongues originated from the fall. But we learn that our teacher, Jesus Christ, has saved us. And by his grace, we became new creation. The first fruit and gift of the risen Lord to the Christian at Pentecost is the Holy Spirit bestowing the gift of tongues and therefore renewing and empowering new believers like you and me with tongues and languages that declares the wonderful work of God. The Christian church was born, matured, equipped, and advanced by the gift of tongues. And so my brothers and sisters, let me invite you to focus your attention there. Let us use our tongue to connect people to Christ and with each other. Let us cultivate our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and grow in faith with our tongue. And let us celebrate life and service in the Lord with our tongue. Let our tongue sing and speak and boldly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Now, talk is cheap. But let us not cheapen and compromise the grace of God by the misuse, abuse, and inconsistencies of our tongue. In the words of St. Paul, let our conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that we may know how to answer everyone. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength to be our God forever and ever. Amen.